welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. Before Kyle and I get to discussing the upcoming season, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, I guess as you get ready for week one, you got a bit of a change in the opponent after playing Warrensburg the last couple of years. You got Carl Junction coming in instead. So when you're coming in facing an opponent the team hasn't played before in week one, what's the process of scouting and you know, getting a game plan together look like?
It may seem a little weird, but you know, it's that first game of the season. You really don't gain too much familiarity with a team just because you don't know what the roster's going to look like, if a new coach is coming in. We just treat it like that, or, you know what I mean? It's a new season, so it presents itself with, you know, new outlooks on the team anyway in general. So we're going to go into this thing thinking that, hey, we usually think on game one, there's no familiarity, but things that we can hang our hat on is that we definitely need to make sure we're playing sound football and playing as hard as we can, because that first game is all about how confident your team is going into the first game playing with everything they got. Because it's going to, you know, that's what it, first two games of the season is grit.
So really, more than anything, a focus on yourself
right
this week.
Yes.
So, you know, coming out playing sound, like you're saying, what are you looking for? What are some signs that, you know, you guys are starting the season on the right foot? We can say offensively specifically. What are you looking for that shows you, you know, the guys are kind of getting in and where they need to be at this point?
Good focus reps. And not just try to look so much at the body of work. Just, hey, when we line up, are we looking at, well, do we have our eyes in the right places? You know, are we making the, you know, are we getting to our assignments? Are we making the right reads? Things of that nature. So it's really just early on offense, you know, making sure we're doing our job. You know, each rep, is it efficiently as possible?
And on the defensive side, kind of the same thing, just making sure you got that focus on each play?
Alignment, assignment, technique, which is the case every game, you know, to the state game. But to be able to put those together, alignment, getting in line, recognizing how to align the thing so you don't get out leveraged, and playing football just fast. When in doubt, just get to the ball.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, in some ways, I can believe that it's here. In some ways, I can't believe that it's here. And so, are you ready for football? And are the Cavaliers ready for football, I guess?
I'm definitely ready for football. Okay. I've spent the last 2.5 months not really doing too much until
right.
the last week or two
right.
Around the office. So I'm ready to get out and cover some football. And
okay.
I think Capital City is absolutely ready to get out there and start playing again.
That's the thing, I think, that's always the question at this week of the year. I think every coach tells you we're ready. Some coaches will be honest and say, man, I wish we had 2 more weeks of practice because we're not ready. But I think just in terms of, at this point, everybody's ready for a game, I think, and try to learn what you can learn from a game, because there's only so much you can learn after these couple weeks of practice. You only can learn so much from a jamboree. I almost feel like those are a product of a bygone era where you go, why are we even doing these things anymore? But I get it that they're part of the process of getting you ready for game one. Well, now we're to game one, and I guess the big question is, okay, Capital City, we've kind of seen a maturation process. It's almost been like a natural progression of, okay, a couple wins, you know, be competitive, a couple wins, then a big jump, and then now we're to the point where 8-4 last year.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look back at that for a minute and just go, that was a pretty impressive jump up for the Cavaliers last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you got to think, 2 years ago was really the big jump up,
right?
Right? you know, first winning season, first winning streak, all these other firsts that they got 2 years ago. Last year, 8-4, you get the first playoff win.
Right.
First two playoff wins.
Right.
Get to the first district championship. Now that's the second big step up.
Right.
So you got to think, well, the next one is winning a district championship, making it to state for the first time. So that's the like logical next step to take.
Yeah.
Is right there, is to just win one, two more games.
Right.
At the end of the year.
Right? Yeah. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about how that might come to pass when we start breaking things down a little bit. But I guess in terms of just, I would imagine that, you know, just for you as someone who's kind of seen this the last couple of years, I got to imagine that it's probably exciting to be out at Cavaliers practice these days from the standpoint of they're seeing, putting work in and then seeing results that come from it. So I got to imagine they're very excited to just try to get another season started and see what they can figure out with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something Coach Collier, you know, and I talk about a lot is how much he appreciates that, you know, the work the players have put in these last couple of years have pretty directly translated to, to improvements in results.
Sure.
Right. The first two seasons, you go 1-9. 2 years ago, your first winning season, you take a huge step up. You're, you know, surprising a lot of teams. And then you do it again the next year. Like there's that continual, like you called it, the maturation, where it's just step by step by step. You're seeing more results come as the hard work starts to pay off.
That's a good point from his standpoint, from the point of sometimes you do the hard work and you can only see the results pay off in tiny ways or in little ways, or sometimes there are only ways that coaches can see them or only ways that players can see a little bit of a change here or there. But yeah, like you say, it's nice when they pay off in direct ways where you can go, hey, look, we've done this, and now it's paid off in victories, and then it's played off in postseason victories. So I guess the big thing that we need to talk about is it's you hope that when you want or you're trying to take that next step, you hope you have the horses to do it. Because sometimes in high school sports, it's just luck of the draw, and you go, okay, we'd like to keep things trending on an upward trajectory, but we just don't have the horses this year. Well, I think the Cavaliers have plenty of horses this year, and it starts at two very important places in high school football, quarterback and running back.
Well, and the two most important positions in a year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you got Evan Schaefer back as the starting quarterback. He took over after leading comebacks week 1 and 2 as a backup, took over in week 3. Secured the job, became the clear guy out of the what was a 3-man competition at the beginning of last year. Now there's no competition. That's the first time in Cavalier history. You know, the first couple of years, you're just trying to figure out what do we have,
right?
Who do we have that can play?
Sure.
So there's that competition. You get into the Veer 2 years ago with Hayden Carroll and Isaiah Franklin, and it's kind of like, we've got these two options here. One guy who's a little bit better at reading it, a little bit better of an arm versus the kind of athletic freak that Isaiah Franklin is. I mean, he is electric when he has the ball.
Right.
So it's kind of that competition. Last year, you get Evan, you get Isaiah Franklin again, and you get Parker Ochesky. It's kind of, you know, figuring out who that is. We know it's Evan this year.
Right.
He knows how to read it. He knows what he's doing back there. He's got the year of experience.
And so not only, how important is that for him, but to not only, one, to be comfortable out of it, but two, you can start advancing the things that you want to do and opening up that playbook in terms of like, you know, we know we can do these things and we know he knows these plays. Now all of a sudden, look, we can introduce X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden it's like, now we have the full gamut of stuff that we can run.
Yeah, and that's something that you've seen the last couple of years, especially early on in the season. It's been very dive heavy out of the Veer, especially those first couple of games. And then, you know, that second, that third option become more useful weeks 3, weeks 4, weeks 5, and then you start continuing that advancement. Now you've got Evan running it at quarterback. He knows how to read all of the options going in week 1. You've got Jalen Thomas, an all-state running back, second team all-state running back last year. Got over 2,000 yards as a sophomore, over 1,000 as a freshman, is incredible. I mean, absolutely amazing running back. And you know what he's able to do. You know that he understands all of these different plays, all of these different reads.
Yeah.
Isaiah Franklin, taking a step back, is going to probably be the second back most of the time. So he's got the understanding from trying to do it as a quarterback the last 2 years of all of these different things.
Sure.
All three of those guys understand this offense in and out. And so you can already start at step 3.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Instead of step 1. Or you can start at step 4. You can start mixing in all these other things. We saw at the Jamboree, there was a lot of pistol looks, which is different for this offense. You know, one running back pistol look with motions involved to bring, you know, a receiver back into the backfield if you want to still do the options, or motioning a back out to a receiver if you want to, you know, a different pass look. You've got all this stuff that didn't get implemented last season until, like, the Helias game.
Right.
Right? And now you can do it week 1, week 2. You can get it down so that when you're playing that big middle of the season that you have again this year, you already know how to do it.
Right.
In-game action.
Yeah. So I guess with, you know, skill guys like Schaefer and Thomas, and you know those are known commodities, it's easy to go, well, we're set. Well, you're set as long as the guys in the trenches can do the work to make sure that those guys can have success. So I guess the natural next question then is, how do things look on the line? How much is back? How much did they lose from last year?
That's where a little bit more change will come.
Okay.
Lost 2 starting offensive linemen from last year, plus you've got Reese Turner, who was your starting left tackle, moving into left guard, which I found interesting. He was one of their stronger offensive linemen last year. The move into left guard from the outside is apparently a little bit more veer-based. You know, you want that strength up the middle instead of around the outside like you would have in a more pass-heavy offense.
Right.
So you're moving him into the middle. You got your 2 other returners at center and right guard. So you got that strength up the middle. The tackles are going to be new guys.
Okay.
But Coach Collier seems very happy with how that whole progression has been working out with the offensive line. He seems pretty happy with kind of the rotational guys who will be working in. Said there's not a lot of drop-off if they need to go to second stringers on the line. So it looks pretty good, but that is going to be, you know, where the contention happens, right?
Right.
Especially with Avere, like we're talking about. You have to get that push.
Right.
And it's kind of been a thing for Capital City the last couple of years. The line isn't huge. These aren't enormous kids.
Right.
Especially when you're going up against a Rockbridge who, you know, comes out with a bunch of kids who are 280 or 300 pounds.
Right, right.
It just looks a little different.
Right.
But while they're not huge, they're strong and they're aggressive.
Okay.
And I think kind of fit the mentality of the team the last couple of years, which is toughness and physicality.
Right.
And as long as you can keep that going and keep the whole line kind of moving in that direction, then it should work out just fine.
Well, you mentioned second stringers and kind of what you can expect from them if you have to bring them in. It's kind of a natural point to talk about this. How's the overall depth of the team in terms of how bodies, backups, you know, in case people go down? How is, like, the, you know, what's the size of the roster? How does it look like in terms of in case you do have to entertain some other players rather than just the ones, you know, that you know are going to be starting?
You know, I don't have the total roster number in my head at the moment, but the upperclassmen are a little bit smaller as just a total unit. If you're really getting deep into the roster, you're going to be mixing in some freshmen who don't have a ton of experience, you know, of course.
Right.
As freshmen won't.
Sure.
I don't expect that to happen. At the different positions, you can go a couple of deep at each spot and still feel pretty good.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of guys going both ways.
Okay.
Which has been the case the last couple of years. You know, it's not like the way Blair Oaks runs their team where everybody's going on offense or just defense, you know.
Right.
A lot of Capital City players will be going both ways, but because of that, you can go 2, maybe 3 deep at each position and still feel pretty good about it.
So I think, obviously, the offense is going to get a lot of the talk in the preseason, and justly so. I mean, I think there was enough good things that happened last year with that, you know, you are right to be anxious to see how it goes again this year with, you know, they're a year older, they're a year better. It could be very exciting.
Well, if you average 300 rushing yards a game and you bring back the main guys,
right,
you know.
it's easy to get excited about that. So I guess the thing that may be the thing that people aren't talking a lot about as much when it comes to this year's team is the opposite side of the ball. So can this team get enough stops, I guess, is what it's going to boil down to with an offense that probably is going to score a fair amount of points against a fair amount of the teams on their schedule. So then can you get stops against people is what you're going to need.
The defense last year was pretty solid.
Right.
I mean, like, kind of throughout. You got a few games where there were some higher point totals going against them, but a lot of that was turnover issues, right? Because if you remember back to last year, there were a lot of fumble issues.
Right.
And, you know, if you fumble a couple of times in a game and give the other team a short field, well, an extra 14 points on the defensive total makes it look a lot worse, even sure. if those were a 25 and a 35-yard drive instead of two full drives going against them.
Right.
So, defensively, the run stopping last year, fantastic. Kind of throughout the defensive line, the linebackers did a great job. The secondary was a bit of an issue early in the season, became kind of a strength of the team later in the season, especially once you got into like the Camdenton game in districts, which Camdenton's a team that loves to kind of dink and dunk and throw it all over the field.
Right.
The secondary played fantastic against them.
Okay.
So I asked Coach Collier specifically about that, how you can take the momentum that the secondary gained late in the season, especially with a number of players in the secondary returning,
okay,
and move that into this season. They're going to be playing a 3-3-5, so five, you know, a nickel base, three safeties most of the time. And you got those guys. Now, Coach Collier told me there's a little bit of a schematic change that is designed to help them out a little bit.
Okay.
And trying to take, they'd apparently found a couple of things practice-wise that really helped kind of build that momentum late in the season, taking that, putting it in, you know, over the summer, in fall camp, and all of this, to try to get that strength of the team in the secondary going early.
Sure.
Because if you can have that mixed in with the still being able to stop the run pretty well, then that's an elite defense.
Right. So just kind of looking at, we'll get to the opener here in a minute, but just kind of looking at the overall schedule, you know, it's the bulk of it's similar from the CMAC. Plus, you know, you do add a familiar-ish team in Camdenton with them joining the CMAC this year.
It's a three-game change.
Yeah. So basically, you add Camdenton to it. You end the season at Quincy, Illinois, and then you start the season, which we'll talk about in a second, with Carl Junction. So, you know, it's kind of very similar in some ways, but I think overall, I think just in terms of, you know, I know Carl Junction struggled last year, but I think in general they're a very solid program, and Quincy is always very good. So I think the schedule overall got tougher this year, just with the simple fact that, you know, you replaced a game you won last year with Camdenton being another extra conference game, and then those other two games all of a sudden become tougher than it was last year.
Well, yeah. So with Carl Junction, the wins and losses don't look great the last handful of years or so.
Right.
They're playing up every game. They're playing the big Springfield schools pretty much every game. And then when they get to districts, they're beating the teams that are their size.
Right.
So I think they're just kind of maybe a little overmatched throughout the season playing the big boys.
Yeah.
So it makes that look a little bit worse. So I would expect them to be better than their record has shown the last couple of years.
Sure.
But yeah, you're replacing, you know, Truman was a team that Capital City crushed the last 2 years.
Right.
You're replacing that game with Camdenton.
Yeah.
Kirksville was a team, the first team that Capital City got a win against.
Right.
You know, in the 1-9 first season, the one was Kirksville.
Right.
You're taking that team who you then beat the last couple of years pretty handily, putting in Quincy, Illinois.
Right.
And Quincy is a team that has had some success. I don't know a lot about them because, you know, I don't know Illinois high school football very well. And then you're taking Warrensburg, which is a team that, you know, you'd opened your first four seasons against and beat the last two somewhat handily.
Mm-hmm.
They had been closer games, but that was because of some, you know, mistakes on the offensive end. The turnovers had been an issue each of the last 2 years. You're able to overcome them to get wins.
Right.
But a team that Capital City, you know, looked like it physically should be able to beat pretty well, and you're putting in Carl Junction, a team that you don't really know anything about.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I would say the schedule absolutely got tougher this year.
Yeah. So that leads us to tonight, the season opener, 7 o'clock tonight at home against Carl Junction. The Bulldogs did go 3-9 last year, but two of those wins came in district. So, I mean, they won two out of their final three before losing in the district final. So, you know, I think that's obviously something, again, they went into the offseason on an upswing, you know, which every team kind of wants to do before finally getting beat. So, I guess the biggest thing is just, you know, I think both teams will probably know a lot more about each other, and you'll know a lot more about both those teams after we get done tonight. But heading into it, I guess, you know, what did Coach Collier maybe say to you about maybe what, you know, the Cavaliers are expecting?
You know, even Coach Collier was saying, like, there's not a ton of advanced scouting to do.
Right.
Especially a team that you haven't played before that kind of plays in a separate part of the state against teams that you're not playing against at all. Like, you can watch film from last year, but it's, from what I can tell, a new starting quarterback. Last year's quarterback was a senior. You do have their leading rusher back, and it looks like two of their leading receivers are back, at least according to Max Preps. But that's the extent of what I'm able to do.
Right.
You know, like, there's just not a lot to be known about them coming into the season,
right.
And there's just no experience playing against them. Yeah. So it's a little bit more, at least the way Coach Collier described it, was just an internal focus, right? Making sure that Capital City is doing the things it needs to do, having the physicality that it wants, and making sure that it's, you know, playing the style and with the toughness that it wants to play with, and expecting that that will lead to positive results.
Gotcha. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point where we don't know really what to predict, but let's just ask you, how do you think this one plays out tonight?
I do think Capital City will win.
Okay.
I will say, let's go with 28 to 14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.